Thank you very much. Contact details are up there if anyone's interested, and I'll probably put an updated version of this talk on the website as well, because I'm do keep meaning to update that. A bit about me. Always been interested in science. I got my first telescope in 1989. It came from the Argos catalogue. It was big and red, and I loved that. Bit of echo. I loved that telescope. And I always wanted to take a photo through it, but there'll be a bit more on that later. Really, I've been taking photos of the night sky on and off since then, and kind of got more serious in it about 10 years ago. What this talk is going to be is really a summary of what I've tried, what it sort of costs, hand-waving, some representative results, what you'd get if you actually tried it with the kit, not over-processed like you see online. Hopefully it's interesting. So what is astrophotography? It's literally, it's taking images of the night sky, the local stuff, moon, planets, asteroids, comets, fucking Starlink satellites that get in everything, or the deep sky objects, the stars, nebulas, galaxies, Voorwoops, which is an absolutely fantastic thing. There was a Dutch teacher who discovered this thing in the Galaxy Zoo. It's called Hannes Voorwoop. They didn't know what it was. It's just this bright green thing. And if there's any Dutch people in the audience, they might be able to confirm Voorwoop is Dutch for thing. I think maybe. Basically, it's all the fun of it: software engineering, mechanical engineering, optics, electronics, but doing it in the dark while you're sleep deprived and getting eaten by mosquitoes and having snails crawl up your legs. And foxes get really upset that you're in the garden when they were expecting to be in the garden. To give an example, this was the earliest astro photograph I was able to find. This was a daguerreotype. So daguerreotype is early photography, generally using silver iodide, mercury, all sorts of fun stuff. I've been trying to replicate that. That may be a future EMF talk. This was sort of two nights worth of exposure to get a photograph of a single star, the star Vega, which is quite a bright star. If you want to get into this, what does it cost? And this is some of the things I wish I'd known 10, 20 years ago. It really depends, and unfortunately, like most technical hobbies, you can pay to play, or you can use what you've got. So you can chuck loads of money at this, buy all the toys, or you can try to use what you've got. So I tried using what I had to start with. So going back to my very first telescope, I now know why this does not work. So I had this Tasco 50mm refractor. That's the photo. I couldn't find the Argos catalogue 1989 when I got it. But there's the same one in the 1990 catalogue. And they pitch it as you get this wonderful picture of the Pleiades, Seven Sisters, star cluster behind it. And I took this thing out. I love this telescope. I got it for Christmas. Absolutely brilliant thing. But when you're looking through it, things drift across the sky because the sky moves. And the tripod was shaky, and I super glued all of the joints to make it more solid. And then I thought, I'd love to get a picture through it. So I had this old film camera, 110 cassette film, some people may remember it. They were selling these film cameras, I think they were £1 at the time in 1991-ish. And I thought, well, if I knocked the lens out of it, wedged the shutter open and super glue it to an eyepiece and then wrapped the whole thing up in tape, I'd be able to get a picture. No. Unfortunately, optics doesn't work that way. I needed extra space. It just wouldn't work. I found this. I kept this thing. I actually dug it out a few weeks before I submitted the talk for EMF. And I thought it would be interesting because it was still the original film in there. So I took the film out, got it exposed, just came back completely wrecked. There were no pictures. The slides that should have had pictures were dark, and the rest were just overexposed from light exposure. So I've been trying to do this for a while. So when smartphones became more popular, I started pointing my phone at the sky. And this is probably the cheapest way to get into the hobby. Just to use your current smartphone, Google Pixel I'm currently running with, and some sort of tripod mount. If you do any YouTube videography, you've probably got a mount. This could be free. Unfortunately, you can only do short exposures because the sky moves west to east or east to west, depending which end of the planet you're on. And you can't really filter out light pollution. You can try gluing filters to the cameras, but it messes things up. You need to use a camera that can try to stack some of the images, and the Google camera application has a night mode where it will try to sample the sensor, work out where stars on it are on it, and try to keep them aligned as it stacks lots of images. There's open source cameras as well, which are pretty good. Camera applications are pretty good. So I'm not sure how went on to the next slide. This is an example I took from down in South America earlier this year. This is the Carina Nebula. This was me just pointing my phone on that tripod up at the sky. And you can see it's a sort of faint fuzzy patch. There's a hint of nebula in the middle. There's a couple of bright stars. There's a tree photobombing the corner. There was a lot of light pollution. I'm pleased I did. This was the very first photograph I've ever taken from the Southern Hemisphere. But it's not great. If you're in a very good dark sky site, you can do better. I wasn't, and I never really have been with that setup. But I bought my first DSLR camera in 2005. It was a Nikon D50. Brilliant camera at the time. Unfortunately, it can only use 2 GB SD cards, so it's a bit of a pain to use now. You can't even put a bigger card that's formatted lower. I bought a cheap telephoto lens, pointed the camera at the sky, and got very blurry star trail images. Because you can only do an exposure that's about 500 over the focal length of your lens, gives you the shutter speed. So with the 300mm lens I had on there, 1.5 sensor crop, meant I could get about a 1.1 second exposure before the stars started trailing, which isn't really much use. So I got a 50mm prime lens instead, which means I can, in theory, do about 10 second exposures, but tend to get away with about 4 seconds. And you can do better. So this is the center of Orion. You've got Orion's three stars. And there's the Orion Nebula, so the Sword of Orion. This was taken from Northumberland a couple of years ago. But to get much better results, you actually need to track the sky. So how do you track the sky? The cheapest way is to build something like this, a barn door tracker. The way these work is you can see the sort of star-crossed handle there. This actually moves the plate with the camera on at an angle that, in theory, you can track the sky. It works better if you've got a live view on the camera and you've got some idea. Ideally, you want to move at about one rotation. The way this is set up and designed, you want about one rotation per minute, I think, to get fairly accurate sky tracking. This isn't the one I built. This is an image from Wikipedia of the one that I built from the plans. Mine looks nothing close as professional as this. I'm not a woodworker. I'm not a machinist. I'm an electronics bodger who works in the dental school and does things with rare books. I fit in somewhere. But you can use it, and yeah, this again was from Northumberland a few years ago. That faint fuzzy blob in the middle is 2.2 million light years away. In about 1.5 billion years, we're going to collide with it, and I wish I was going to be around to see the night sky when that happens, really. You can see this with the naked eye, but it looks even fainter and fuzzier than this. But when I was at the dark sky site, I didn't check. The moon was about to rise. It was going to be a full moon and the clouds came in. So this is about half an hour of total exposure. Most of the exposures were unusable. The thing you need to sort of talk about, if you're now collecting lots of images, you really want to capture raw images. You don't want to be capturing JPEGs. So if you're using the phone, see if the phone has a raw mode, because compression artifacts will stack up and just really get annoying. You want to capture lots of images, and you want to stack the images to improve signal to noise. So you want to be summing the actual thing you want to see, and hopefully the noise in the background will just average away. Faint things become less faint. More images is more better. And this, Cyril, is very good free astro processing software. It will take just images in. There's a very, very steep learning curve to it, but you can produce some very good results with it, and it will do things like plate solve your images. So you can take a random photo of the sky and it will tell you what's there, what you were looking at. And it just gets better with every release. And it's free. So everything so far, if you've got a DSLR camera, a tripod or a phone and free software, you can get reasonable results. I mean, it's not going to be earth shattering, but you can take pictures of the sky and you might see something. If you want to get a bit more serious, you can do the obvious thing. So the people in the audience who look at the barn door tracker and me saying you need to rotate it about once a minute will probably think, I can put a stepper motor on that. I tried that, it didn't work. Again, my mechanical engineering issues, just it wasn't the right sort of motor, the torque wasn't right, revolutions per minute were wrong. But you can buy commercial versions. You can buy kits people will sell you to bolt a motor onto your own barn door tracker. But the good ones, something like this, cost about $300. There's nothing to build. It's fairly easy to set up. There's a tube. I realise you can't see my mouse cursor. I'm pointing with a mouse cursor. It's not working. There's a tube. There's that brass thing in the middle where the camera's going to bolt on. There's a black thing, black tube at the back you can't quite see. That's a star finder. You set the centre of that up so you're looking at the pulse star, and then this will just rotate around, tracking around the pulse star, so you get a nice even tracking. I actually borrowed this one when I was thinking about what I wanted to do, if I wanted to make things a bit more serious, and I had it for 2 months. It rained and was cloudy the whole time, so I got it out of the box, took a photo, went, oh, that's shiny, I'd like to have this, I'd love to use it, and then had to send it back unused because the weather was just useless. There are various channels and people on YouTube who use these and post good results, so maybe one day I'll try one again. But you can get really expensive ones, you can get cheap ones, you can get the upgrade kits for things you can make out of plywood and hinges. I want a telescope. I want to get back to what I had as a kid. I turned 40, decided I didn't want a motorbike, a fast car or a drinking problem, so I thought I'll buy a telescope. While I was doing that, I was asked to review this. This is the National Geographic Combined Telescope Microscope Kit, which will set you back about £50. It's complete crap. I'd wondered how the cheap end of the microscope market was going to change in 30 years, and so, yeah, got asked to review this. They have this plastic paddle thing that fits over the eyepiece that you put your phone on. The alignment's useless, the lenses are plastic. It's really junk. I mean, they sell it with these fairly impressive images of the moon and Jupiter. Jupiter, the best I got through this was a bright point that you could maybe see another moon. If you've got children and you're thinking about getting a site for Christmas, do not get them this. It will turn them completely off of doing any sort of microscopy or astronomy. So then I started looking at these. So these are electronic telescopes. These will set you back about £500 plus. The cheap ones are sub 500, the expensive ones start getting off for several thousand. For some reason, these became really popular in 2020. It was like suddenly people had a lot of time on their hands, can't quite work out what happened. The advantages with these are really smart. They're small, backpack, battery powered, you stick them on a tripod in a field, they get a GPS signal, they work out where they're pointing, you get a smartphone app, you pick the thing you want to see, it slews to it, starts taking pictures. Unfortunately, they're completely non-upgradable. You're stuck with a camera and the optics you buy. The software's not open source. And yeah, the results you get are not too bad. I'm still considering maybe getting one of the smaller ones just because it's so portable, and I could have brought it to the field here, and if we had a clear night, could have got some star pictures. So this is an example picture taken with it. So we've gone back to the Orion Nebula, which, if you can remember a few slides ago in my early picture, taken with just the camera and me looking up at the stars, was a faint fuzzy patch. It's a slightly brighter fuzzy patch, and there's a hint of colour in this. So this was taken, I think this was about 20 minutes total summed exposure with one of the auto telescopes. It's good, but I wanted better. And I just turned 40 and I thought, I want a telescope. So I started buying a telescope. I didn't spend all of this at once. I bought the telescope, so the long white tube and the tripod thing with a weight on. That was what I originally bought. I had an eyepiece on it. And it could be hand controlled with a hand controller. And I used it for several months and thought, I want to take pictures with this. Because most things I want to look at, I live in the Northern Hemisphere, most of the things I'm interested in tend to be quite high in the sky when the weather's nice. You get back to sort of being out in the cold and wet and drizzle and mosquitoes and things. But when the weather's nice, things I want to look at are high in the sky, which means I'm crouching down looking through an eyepiece and everything hurts, and I'm 40 plus now and everything hurts by default. I don't want to make it worse. And it's also an utter pig to set up. You can't just drag this out of the shed, point it and go. This takes about an hour between getting it out and using it. And just the way the weather's been this year and some other commitments, I haven't actually used this kit this year. I'm ashamed to say that. I would love to get this out and start playing with more. It got to the kind of pay-to-play side of things. It was what I was comfortable spending, but it wasn't the single outlay. So I've since added the camera, which is the purple thing at the end. I've added extra tracking so I can actually more accurately follow the stars. I've added heaters, coolers. I've got a cable management problem. Help. I bought some of these spiral wound things which claim to help, and they just became another issue. But I love the results I get from this. That's my version of the Orion Nebula from my garden, light polluted. I did that. 10-year-old me would be in utter awe of that, and I'm in awe of it, and I did it. And I did that as well. It gives some absolutely fantastic results. But you've got to be prepared to spend some money. Unfortunately, there's cheap ways. You can't do that with a smartphone. You can get a picture of that with a smartphone, but it'll be a faint fuzzy patch in the middle. So what other options are there? And I wish I knew this at the time when I was thinking of buying a telescope. There are online telescopes for about £10 a month subscription. These weren't quite so accessible when I was thinking about buying a telescope several years ago. You're effectively renting time on somebody else's telescope, a very, very nice telescope, somewhere dark where it doesn't rain. And if there are mosquitoes, I don't care because I'm sitting inside my house drinking tea. I click a button, it takes some of the fun out of it. But It's cheap. Ish. And that was true until about an hour ago. I use this company, itelescope.net. They have fantastic equipment. It's much better than I could ever afford. Excellent dark sky sights. If you look down the list, so they've got Sliding Springs Observatory in Australia. They've got some places in the Utah Desert, Chile, Sierra Remote Observatory. There's dark sky sites in Spain. If I won the lottery, I probably still couldn't afford to go and set telescopes in some of these sites. There is a cost to this, waiting for an observing slot. These things are oversubscribed. There's nothing shiny to play with. It's point and click on a computer. It takes some of the fun out of it. I did dismiss sitting in the cold, dark, sleep deprived, doing software engineering, electronics, barking at foxes, whatever it is we do. But that is part of the enjoyment. Think of the poor starving mosquitoes. I'm not being paid to say this. I was a happy customer of these people. But in a callback to McFly's talk from Thursday, they changed the terms and conditions on me about an hour ago, hour and a half ago now. They've doubled the price. I should run my own infrastructure. I'm using somebody else's server, somebody else's telescopes. Anyone want to go all in, share out with a telescope on the mountain with me? You know, we run our own open source telescopes. Please, come and see me at the bar afterwards. Always seems a much better idea over a beer. But you do get some absolutely fantastic results from them. They're really good for looking in at objects that are not visible from my urban back garden. These are all images I clicked take a picture of this on a web browser, and a telescope on the other side of the planet slew where it was going, and somebody else fettled the things that needed fettling, and 12 hours later a stack of TIFFs appears in my inbox. So I took these images. Then we have the Centaurus galaxy top left to you, which is visible from Australia. It's a radio telescope with this great big dark band across it. It looks fantastic. Other galaxies that can't be seen, various nebulas, far more stars than you can ever think. And I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do with this company. I'd like to keep using them. I enjoy the experience. But I don't like they've doubled the price on me quite so much. I've run out of slides. Sorry.